Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Q4 FY22 earnings conference call of United Breweries Limited, hosted by Investec Capital Services. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star and zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Harit Kapoor from Investec Capital Services. Thank you, and over to you, Mr. Kapoor.
Yeah, thank you, Nikita. On behalf of Investec Capital Services, we would like to welcome all the participants in the call and a special welcome to the management of United Breweries for the Q4 FY22 earnings call. On the call with us is the senior management of United Breweries, represented by Mr. Berend Rodig, Chief Financial Officer, and Mr. P.A. Punasha, Head Finance and Investor Relations. I'd now like to hand over the call to Berend for his opening remarks, post which we'll open the call for Q&A. Over to you, Berend.
Thank you very much, Harit, and good afternoon, everybody on the call. Thank you for joining, and as Harit said, we'll discuss today the results of quarter four and the full year 21-22. I'm joined by Mr. Punasha, and after the opening comments, we'll be happy to take any questions. So let us start with the results highlights. The company recorded volume growth of 7% in the quarter versus prior year, driven by the continued recovery of demand prevalent across nearly all the markets. Comparing Q4 versus Q3 resulted in 14% sequential volume growth. The quarter started in January with a muted demand situation due to Omicron variant, but ending with a record month of March. UBL achieved share growth both in the quarter as well as in the year-to-date performance, further solidifying its market leadership. In the quarter, EBIT reached 220 crores, 5% ahead of the previous year. Top-line growth and cost measures were partly offset by higher commodity costs. The full-year results show strong performance with net sales up 38% and EBIT up 157%. The free operating cash flow of the company reached 721 crores due to continued improvement in working capital and curtailed investment levels. On the back of a strong liquidity position, the proposed dividend is significantly up to 10.5 rupees per share, representing a circa 75% payout of profit after tax. On the performance by region, we have seen different patterns within the quarter as January was impacted by the Omicron variant, predominantly seen in the more urban areas, not followed in March by a record performance across virtually all the states. North posted a strong growth at 26%, particularly in Rajasthan, UP, and Haryana. Delhi market posted a decline due to the implementation of new policy. West posted 11% decline, and in East posted a 2% growth, driven by higher volumes in the states of Arunachal Pradesh, Orissa, Assam, Meghalaya, partly offset by a fall in volume in the Western Wall states due to the introduction of a new route market. South posted 8% growth driven by higher volume in Telangana, partly offset by lower volumes in Karnataka and Kerala. Turning to the sales, it were up 11% in the quarter, driven 7% by volume and 3% by favorable price mix. A positive price impact was partly offset by an unfavorable state mix. On a full-year basis, the volume growth was 33% and price mix positive 5%. Turning to page 8 with the EBIT breakdown. Gross profit improvement was there in absolute terms, with a lower gross profit margin due to the commodity inflation in mainly malt, packaging, and energy costs. Fixed expenses were well contained, resulting in margin expansion on these lines that partly offset the commodity price impact. In the fixed costs, there was good leverage effect of revenue growth coming through. Personnel costs are below prior year, despite the higher volumes. Depreciation was also below prior year due to the curtailed investments in the last 2 years and some assets now being fully depreciated. The resulting EBIT margin ended at 12.9%. Moving to the cash flows, the full year saw improvement in cash flows owing to higher underlying profitability and continued working capital reduction. Similar to last year, again, nearly 300 crores of working capital was freed up. CapEx was also curtailed, as earlier explained. Free operating cash flows came in at a record 721 crores, and as shared in last quarter update, all remaining term debt has been repaid. The chart on the bottom right shows the cash flows last 5 years and the growth despite the COVID impact in the last two financial years. Finally, on the outlook and a summary, that although the COVID trajectory, of course, remains unknown, the company is confident in successfully navigating any potential impacts with an agile response. With the demand picture normalizing, the company is now gearing up for the full peak season, which has shown a promising start in the month of March. The commodity cost picture remains challenging and volatile. The company is in the process of securing price increases in combination with continued cost measures to mitigate these impacts. And as always, we remain very optimistic about the long-term growth drivers of the industry on the basis of GDP growth, urbanization, and evolving consumer trends. UBL is very well positioned to leverage this and drive these opportunities. With that, I conclude the opening comments, and let us move to the Q&A.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on the touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Avnish Roy from Edelweiss. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks. My first question is on working capital and CapEx. So, congrats on working capital reduction. So, could you elaborate any particular state where you have seen more working capital reduction, any particular initiative? And you mentioned CapEx curtailed to minimum requirements. Now, with growth coming back and COVID seeming lesser of a risk, would your CapEx be coming back in say, FY23-24?
Yeah, on the working capital, I think that's been fairly broadly spread across markets. Of course, some markets we operate with distributors, some with the government corporations. But it's really a result of efforts to reduce excise capital being blocked in the various states, but also some trading partners trying to reduce the balances there. So it's pretty, let's say, broad-based. On the CapEx, yes, you're right. Of course, we are now entering a new period for the company during the quarter, hopefully, on COVID. So with that, we have our focus now again on expansion. I would not immediately expect levels back of pre-COVID in terms of CapEx, but more maybe the area of 250 to 300 crore, depending a little bit, of course, how this peak season pans out. And those levels will then include, of course, the normal maintenance CapEx, also continued investments in ESG initiatives like water optimization, also premium capabilities across the network, and some expansion projects as well.
So my second and last question is on the key raw materials. So from a Ukraine crisis perspective, you could comment on outlook on barley. And similarly, in general inflation, what is the impact on glass and corrugated boxes? And you mentioned that you are trying for price hike. So any update on any state where you are seeing more visibility in terms of price hike regarding this?
Sure. Let me go to the components of your question. So first on barley, the new crop that we have now seen coming off the field and being traded is significantly up in price versus prior years. We've seen a lot of speculation in the market, coupled with high demand in March as the peak season, of course, was quite buoyant for the whole industry. Further, we've seen in the last few weeks, before harvest, the high temperatures impacting some of the quality. So a few components of the crop don't meet the quality standards for barley processing for beer. So this combined has led the prices up some 70% versus prior year. We have secured enough supply on the new crop to ride us through the coming peak season and months. So there's no, let's say, risk on the continuity of supply. However, of course, the price levels are very challenging. The buying season is still on, so we will calibrate our strategies as we move along. On glass, we have seen that probably a lot of the underlying input costs, like energy, soda ash, are on the upward trend as well. So we do expect some inflationary levels as well. We have seen so far some positive impact from better collections out of the market versus prior year. Of course, there was a COVID impact, so that is mitigating the impact to some extent. And yes, we continue to look at price increases, of course, to, in principle, pass part of it on to consumers. As we stand today, we have secured price increases in Delhi, higher realization in Rajasthan, in UP, Maharashtra, Karnataka, Orissa, MP, and a few smaller states. But we continue to look at the opportunities and the right balance, of course, by looking at the affordability of the category versus the input cost pressure. I think the context is also that overall the excise policies of the state in many key markets have been stable. So I think that is a positive on the demand possibilities and the market pricing as such. So hopefully that addresses your question.
Yes, it does, and that's all from my side. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Latika Kapchopra from JP Morgan. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you. Beren, I'll just take a follow-up on your previous answer. You know, you talked about price increases being secured across multiple states. Could you share with us what is the quantum of this price increase that you would anticipate to flow in from, Q1 onwards on a blended basis?
Yeah, so I think it's important to realize that we have taken price in the year, of course, as we reported the results. These are additional price increases, which we always tend to start with in Q1 as soon as we have visibility on some of the excise policies. At this point in time, I don't want to give the exact quantum, et cetera, because some of it is being implemented as we speak. And as I said, we continue to have further options and opportunities in the market. But of course, it is against context that the input cost price picture is very high given historic rates. And hence, that is, of course, top of mind when you look at the quantum to secure.
So let me check with you. You know, you talked about barley, glass, prices being higher. You talked about a 70% uptick in barley prices. What is the, blended impact as you exited Q4 on your COGS index? And with these pricing decisions that you've taken plus the cost optimization measures, what is your comfort on your ability to mitigate the commodity push so that operating margins could still be in a decent range? Or are you, looking at a significant pressure on operating margins?
No, on the barley, I think it's important to realize that at the moment we have still the existing stocks from last year. So during quarter one, we'll expect some of the new barley to flow into production process and in our costing as well. I think in the past we've always said that with these kind of commodity cycles, as a company, given the nature of the industry or some of the pricing restrictions, we were not able to offset it fully within 1 or 2 quarters, so that will require some duration to fully offset that. As we saw this quarter in the results and last Q3 as well, I think there's good operating leverage on the fixed cost, so that as we continue to expand the top line, some of that margin can be used to offset the commodity cycle. But I hope you appreciate that, as we're in a very dynamic situation with some of the procurement ongoing, the peak season having just started, some of the price discussions on, it is a dynamic picture, so I don't want to start giving any margin guidance at this point in time.
All right. Thank you, and I'll come back to the queue.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Jay Kumar Doshi from Kotak. Please go ahead.
Hi, Darren. Am I audible?
Yes, Jay, you're audible. Please go ahead.
Hi. Good afternoon. Congratulations on good working capital management. Sorry for pushing a little bit further on the previous two questions. Is it possible for you to give us some color whether you have managed to take between 5 to 10% price increase, or is it more than 10%, or is it less than 5% at a portfolio level so far? Some range will help, because right now, you know, other than Maharashtra, we are somewhat clueless about the price increases that are being taken in some of the smaller markets.
So I think you have to explain that for example, Rajasthan, UP, those are not typical markets where every year we can take prices. So that is, I think, of course, positive. At the same time, we also always look at say the affordability of the category, so that will also determine our pricing approach. So it's really, I think, a little bit too early to come out with definite numbers and ranges as to what the magnitude of the price increases was, because I think there are various levers as to how to go about it. Other elements that we're bringing into the picture is, of course, the drive on premium, but also some of the trade spends we do in terms of schemes. So all of those will have an impact in the overall outcome. So let's give it a bit more time to come back on that issue.
Understood. Now, if inflationary environment continues, do you see a possibility of another round of price increases in the states where you have taken price increases so far, or will you have to wait until end of the year or maybe next financial year for another round of price increases?
Yeah, that depends really per state, but certainly I would not preclude that we will not go back with any other price increases later in the year. So for a number of states, that's definitely a possibility.
Did I hear it correctly? Are you seeing 70% inflation in barley prices in India, or were you referring to global index? Are you seeing 70% inflation in barley prices in India, or was it, you're referring to inflation in global barley prices?
So the prices that we've seen being traded in the last couple of weeks in India are 70% up versus prior year. And barley for us is a cost component of around 16%, 15%. Again, the buying season is on, so it's not to say that this is the outcome as such. But of course, we closely monitor developments on the ground.
And based on our last discussion, I believe that you have low-cost barley inventory that covers you until the end of this peak season. Is that correct understanding?
The last time we guided that it will last us to the mix of the next quarter. That is still there. Of course, it's probably a little bit earlier depleted given the higher volumes that we see at the moment. So in the next quarter, or rather the period April to June, some of these new barley prices will come into our profit and loss.
And do you expect barley prices to come off significantly sharply as the new crop is there in the market, or the 70% inflation is on the new crop that is sent?
Yes, I'm totally fully referring to the new crop with that 70%, yes.
Understood. That's helpful. Can you give a similar number for glass bottles? What is the level inflation that you've sort of seen in glass bottles in percentage terms?
Yeah, so that is really driven contract by contract. So there's not one number. Sometimes we have a fixed price going into the next quarter. There are contracts where we have linked it to underlying input costs of energy or soda ash. But here I think you need to think of kind of mid to high single digit type of increases on average.
That is helpful. My final question is on volume. So when I look at your region-wise volumes and compare it with March 19, Western region volumes are 22% below March 2019 quarter, whereas in North you are up 15%, in East you are up 20% plus. South is also down, but I think that is largely due to route to market change in Andhra Pradesh. So why is this trend very divergent, and why is Maharashtra underperforming significantly versus rest of the continent?
Yeah, so there are of course always differences in state policies, in share performance, brand portfolio, etc. So overall, speaking compared to that period, an expansion of market share. So particularly to the west on your question, the market share is also stable for us. I think as a total industry, probably the pricing of beer is there somewhat more unfavorable versus the pricing of liquor and spirits, really driven by the state policies on excise.
Understood. I'll go back into queue, and thank you so much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Nivesha from Moon Capital. Please go ahead.
Thank you. Hi, Varun. A couple of questions from my end. When I look at the gross revenues for the business for this quarter and take an estimate for volumes and hence the gross realizations, I see a decline on a YOY basis. Should I put that down to state mix and the on-trade, off-trade channel mix?
When you have said gross revenue, I assume you're talking about gross revenue inclusive of excise duty?
No, before excise duty.
Yeah, it is before excise duty, right? Gross of excise duty, right?
Yeah, yeah. Yes, yes.
The prime reason is because route to market change in Delhi and in West Bengal. In the past, the duties was paid by United Breweries Limited or any other brewer or spirit manufacturer. But now since the amount of duty needs to be paid by the distributor, so that is not captured in UBL's or any other alcohol industry gross sales.
Okay, got it. And that's why your revenues are to that extent lower. Got it. Coming to the cost structure for this quarter, I see a big decline in the employee cost. Now, while I understand the other expenses, there's lots of discretionary expenses sitting out there. In terms of employee costs, is this just a true-up of the full year sort of year-end bonuses, etc.? Or should we expect employee costs to be trending down lower even in fiscal 23, similar to what we've seen in 4Q of this financial year, of the last financial year?
Yes, I think you can take it as the kind of new type of run rate. Of course, we have implemented the restructuring in December last year. So in that sense, that is now fully reflected in this number. At the same time, of course, some of it will move with volumes where we have, of course, kind of contract labor on the various units, to particularly in the peak season. We have, of course, the annual increments, etc. But the number itself, I think, is reflective of the new run rate, what you asked about.
Okay, got it. And just thinking about, input costs, you highlighted barley. Obviously, aluminum is up, I think, has more than doubled. But in terms of glass, you spoke about mid to high single digit price increase. Is that incremental or is it YOY? Because there's a big impact on input costs this quarter also. So is it fair to say that on a YOY basis, glass is up more than 20-25%? As will be the case in 1Q?
No, I don't recognize that number. So I think if you look at the quarter or the year-to-date actuals, I think the input costs on glass are kind of well managed and relatively low, coupled with the effect that we had better collections of second-hand glass, which then on the average, of course, mitigate any price increases. I think going forward, we do see, let's say, further pressure on some of these commodity costs for glass, and hence we do see inflationary pressure on glass itself.
Then what explains the 300 basis points plus YOY gross margin compression for 4Q? If it was not barley, if it was not glass, then what really caused that compression?
Sure, it's what we talked about in the last quarter as well. So there are some elements of conversion costs, but it's also other packaging materials like cartons, foils, aluminium, as you mentioned, for cans, some of the energy costs. So those kind of components are included there.
Okay, got it. And final question for me, in terms of pricing, you know, you said it's too early, but just to confirm to the earlier question, the pricing which you're talking about and alluding to is pricing which you've already got, and incremental pricing will be a function of the state excise policy decisions that come through starting 1Q. Am I correct in understanding that?
Yeah, so the excise policies are by now largely known. So the states that I've mentioned where we have secured price increases and we're in the process of implementing them, those are, let's say, additional on top of what we secured last year, the year to date.
Got it. And can you discuss what is the price increase in Maharashtra incremental which you have taken right now in because of the barley and other cost increases?
Yeah, so that's one of the components that we're implementing right now. So let us first finalize that and then we come back on the magnitude.
Okay. Okay, thanks so much, Ben. Thanks.
Thank you. Participants who wishes to ask a question may press star and 1. The next question is from the line of Krishnan Sambamurthy from Motilal Oswal Institutional Equities. Please go ahead.
Hi, Virend and Tanisha. Congratulations on a good performance in a difficult environment. Sorry for harping again on the raw material cost. Just correct me if I'm wrong. Typically, you acquire inventory, raw material inventory for a large part of the year. And your comment, your opening comment, you said that you acquired it for the peak season and a little bit beyond. Were you hoping for a reduction in raw material cost in April and May? And therefore, with the spike that you spoke about in April in barley cost, is that taken you in on surprise by the price negative?
So the typical buying pattern is that with the secure the harvest and the trading takes place, let's say from March to kind of May, June, that we cover ourselves onto the next peak period, so roughly 12 months. Sometimes we will prolong that, sometimes we shorten that. And of course, during the year, some further purchases may take place depending on the need and the business volume growth, of course. So at this point in time, I think the only thing that really changed was that March volumes picked up ahead of plans, and hence the depletion of the stock is then also a bit quicker. So therefore, from the new barley crop, we have made sure we have enough stocks at hand to see us through the next few months.
Okay, thanks. One more question. You had also mentioned in response to one of the earlier questions that in the new crop, there has been some impact of the higher temperature in terms of the quality. How significant is this and what sort of impact do you see this having going forward?
So it's, again, it's an ongoing development in the sense that the quality checks are always made. Some areas are more impacted than others. But one could think that a certain smaller share of the total crop might not meet the quality standards, and hence the total quantity available for the brewing industry is, from that perspective, probably a little bit less than under, let's say, 100% quality crop in totality. So it reduces a bit the quantity that is available.
Okay, just one final question. You spoke about speculation in the markets. Could you elaborate on what you were referring to, value cost?
Yeah, so I think from my perspective, as there is in principle enough quantity to supply the total industry for the next, let's say, 12 months, I would intrinsically not see the reasons why these. Yeah, so the question I was trying to answer was the one on the speculation in the market. So I think there are parties that stock up certain quantities potentially later in the year, trying to sell them at potentially higher prices. That's a kind of my reading of the situation. So I have to see how that turns out, of course, for the remainder of the trading and the buying period for barley.
Very useful. Thanks, man.
Okay.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Himanshu Shah from Dolat Capital. Please go ahead.
Thank you, sir. Thanks for the opportunity. The other OPEX line item has seen a sequential decline. Historically, Q4 generally has been seeing higher cost than Q3. Any specific reason, or is it on account of we shutting down our non-alcoholic beverages production?
Yeah, in general, we have during the COVID period taken a number of cost initiatives, so that's reflecting in some of the cost lines. More recently, we have now decided to close the NAB production that we do in-house in our site in Bihar. So in itself, it will not, of course, move the needle to a significant extent on cost, but it's just one further example how we continue to review all elements of cost, and hence we decided it's more efficient to have this produced at a third party instead of in-house.
So can we go this as a for future quarters on run rate basing, subject to volumes, can we go this by this as a run rate cost?
Yeah, there are no kind of significant one-off positive or negative in the numbers for the quarter. So from that perspective, yeah.
Thank you. That's it for my side.
Thank you.
Next question is from the line of Madhu Babu from Canada
HSBC.
Please go ahead.
Sir, just on the freight cost, how do you see that trending? Because that's, I think, around 6% of revenue over the next couple of quarters. And secondly, on the cost of goods, I think almost 50% is the cost of goods sold. So can you give us, as of now, what is the current mix of barley, glass, and packaging cost? Thanks.
Sure. So freight costs one of the prime rates, of course, is the fuel and the diesel. So we have seen post some of the state elections, diesel prices go up. So when we talked about the overall commodity cost challenge, that's definitely one of the factors that we're having in mind there. Barley costs are around 15% of our total input costs. Glass is around 35%, and then the remainder are things like cans or other input costs for beer, secondary packaging, etc.
Okay, so thanks.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Vishal Punmiya from Nirmal Bang Equities. Please go ahead.
Thank you. Sir, seeing the current demand trends, do you believe on a full year basis the industry can revert back to the FY19 absolute volumes? Maybe if you can get some sense on the current demand trends.
Yeah, it's quite early, of course. We just started the new year. I think we're very optimistic that with the month of March, which was a record month for us, that of course shows a lot of confidence from consumers and good demand. So if that picture obviously continues, then it's a definite yes to your question. But as we have seen in the past, yeah, that takes one step at a time. I think there's still all kind of risks out there. One of it is, of course, the general purchasing power of consumers with the high inflation prevalent in many industries. So I think there are a lot of variables in the mix, but our focus is really on the current peak season where, as I said earlier, we are off to a good start. A lot of the breweries are close to maximum production at the moment, so that's a good scenario, and let us take it from there.
Understood. Secondly, if you can give some sense on the competitive intensity in the industry in the current environment, and also if you can give the current volume market share absolute terms.
Yeah, on the volume market share, we're at levels around 54-55%. I would always repeat that the competitive intensity remains quite high. So, the large international brewers are very active in the market in India. There are smaller regional brewers active as well. Some of it keep on kind of, investing in products, in innovation, in funding that are running the business at a loss. So I think there are various short-term and long-term approaches from the various brewers, which makes it all a competitive set. Overall, I think that's the good part is, of course, it drives innovation in the market, it drives the penetration in the market, where beer today is still kind of very low penetrated in India. So that is the positive angle to it. But across the various states, across the various parts of the portfolio, there is, I would say, continuous high competitive intensity.
The 54-55% market share you mentioned, was the exit rate or was it on a YTD basis?
That's for the last quarter.
Understood. Thank you and best of luck.
Thank you.
Participants who wishes to ask a question may press star and one. The next question is from the line of Alok from Ambit Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thank you for giving this opportunity. My first question is on the barley cost inflation, which you said is about 70%. Now, what largely explains that? Is it more to do with export or is it more the function of speculation? And what sort of MSP increase has been there in barley? If you can just explain that.
Yeah, so the pricing, of course, let's say my view on that. I think there are a couple of reasons which I mentioned earlier. One is parts of the quantity of barley have not met the specs required for the brewing process. So that means some of the metric tons will not be bought by the barley industry, by the brewing industry. Secondly, I think there is quite some pickup in demand quite quickly from March being a very good month for the brewing industry. So people quickly went to go into the market and to buy fresh barley. And thirdly, I think there's also an element of kind of speculation given the global environment, and of course with Ukraine, Russia being large exporters of wheat and barley, so there's some kind of sentiment to that. So So I think that has fueled really a large part of this price increase.
Okay, so just a follow-up on that, correct me if I'm wrong, but the export of barley market is very, very nascent in India. Or has it changed because of this Russia-Ukraine thing?
No, it has not really changed. So it is, as you said, quite low.
Okay. My second question is on the growth in the key urban states. Now, when you say west has declined because of largely Maharashtra, and in south there's a lower volume in Karnataka. So is it to do with anything to do with your share loss in those markets, or what would you attribute that to?
So I think if I look at the data, then in Jan we saw any impact from Omicron more in the on-trade, which is more prevalent in the urban areas. So I think if anything, that has gotten a bit of a larger impact. But again, looking at March, we see that kind of good trading environment very broadly across all the states and urban areas. So, yeah.
Okay. But there's no shares loss that you attribute to in this market, slightly?
No, as I said earlier, the share gains are, I would say, pretty consistent, pretty robust, and fairly consistent across the states.
Okay. And my third and last question is on your premium portfolio. Now, I just wanted to check whether your operating margins in the premium portfolio would be similar to the company level margins, or would it be quite lower considering the fact that you could be investing in that?
Yeah, so I think if you look intrinsically just at the margins, they would be at or above the total portfolio. But factoring in some of the investments which we do on brand building, on trials, on building the distribution, then there's a bit more investment. So yeah, that is the first periods of brand launches and building. But of course, the immediate impact is on the consumer side. We see good traction, good demand. So for the mid to long term, that is of course a purpose.
Got it. But would it be positive operating margin, right? It would at least be positive.
Yes.
Okay. Thank you very much, and good luck for your future points. Thank you.
Thank you.
The next question is from the line of Surya Narayan Manian from DSP Investment Managers. Please go ahead.
Hi, Brent. I hope I'm audible.
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, so I just wanted to delve deeper into the point that you made about what happened in the western states and why we had a different volume trend there versus the rest of the country. And you mentioned that it's also because of the excise policy in these states, which makes beer relatively more expensive versus spirits. Now, as you think about the price increases that are to happen for you, how do you think this equation is going to change? Is it going to get worse? And how do you think about then the volume growth in these markets going into the next year?
Yeah, so I think there are probably two tasks. One is on the policy front that we continue to advocate for, more equitable, path of excise tariffs developing over time. So if you look back, then what I said earlier, that's been more favorable for spirits versus beer. And hence, of course, that has an impact on the relative growth and size of the two categories. So our job at hand is to continue to explain and look at the broader picture, of course, as to what are some of the impacts of such a trend. Internally or more on the short term, maybe, of course, we also continue to look at our pricing actions to make sure we strike the right balance between, short-term, mid- and long-term, not only, in the competitive field of beer, but also having a holistic view of other alcoholic segments in the market there.
Sure. But as you see the trends in March, is that trend improving for these states as well, the Western states?
Yeah, so in March we really saw a pick up, I would say very broadly, including in Mumbai, Maharashtra as well. So, yes.
Got it. So it's largely a function of on-trade coming back, which will benefit you in these states as well.
Yes, of course. It has a role to play.
Got it. And just lastly on this, just the price increases in your view, you probably have a sense of what kind of price increases you have to take for your product portfolio. Do you have a sense of what it is that the spirits players will have to do? I mean, is that gap likely to widen because of the raw material inflation that you're facing versus spirits?
I don't know. I think the inflationary pressure is not limited to beer or spirits, but I think it's very prevalent across many of the industries. From what I can kind of see, it's also relevant for spirits. But of course, every company will determine for themselves to what extent they will absorb some of that, what they want to pass on to consumers, and within the Indian context, that can even be done on various outcomes within the brand portfolio, and of course also different outcomes across states. So we'll have to see, of course, how other manufacturers in alcohol bath decide on that and implement it.
Got it. All right. That's it from it. Thank you, Barry. Thank you very much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Nitin Gosar from Invesco. Please go ahead.
Hey, hi. One clarification. You did mention that...
Sorry to interrupt you, Mr. Nitin. We cannot hear you clearly, sir.
Is this better?
Yes. Please go ahead.
Yeah. One clarification. On the call, it was mentioned that certain price hikes, certain states have already started implementing price hikes, and these are post the closure of excise duty policy. So the question I'm trying to understand is, the price hikes that we have taken right now, would they only factor in the excise-related change, or we have also tried to price in the barley-related impact?
So the price increases or the states that I mentioned are examples where our realization would go up. So if we just price and kind of translate and change in excise, then our realization would not necessarily improve or change. So these are really improvements in realization for us as a manufacturer.
Got it. But incrementally, the new cost related production will come into picture from April onwards or probably June onwards into the system. That's where we will be needing additional price push.
Yes, so of course we have seen last 2 quarters, particularly already a number of commodity pressures. We've explained in the call that some further pressure will come from particularly barley and to a certain extent glass bottles. So hence, but it's typically our, more important quarter for price increases is quarter one. Hence, those number of states are important to offset some of this impact. And at the same time, we continue to review other states where possibilities are there to increase price, combined with some of the cost measures that we can. Can take to protect some of the margin, of course.
Got it. So effectively, first quarter is very critical in terms of price hikes that we can take. That's how the timing of the BSP is like. The price hikes can only be around first quarter.
Yeah, so it's not so much, let's say, a choice that it can be only the first quarter. So in some states there is possibilities also at different points during the year, but traditionally quarter one is important because then there's visibility on some of the excise policies, and hence it's a more of a logical moment to implement the price changes.
Right. And in a couple of other sectors last year, we had seen that those couple of other sectors also witnessed price increase where they needed permission from government. and government did intervene and gave them price increase during mid part of the year, which was not the case which was seen earlier in those sectors. This being an odd year where, you know, this kind of cost push has been witnessed, do we also have a window to seek additional price hikes during the year?
Yeah, absolutely. So we have been on that for a bit of time. So we make a lot of representations to the various states to allow price increases. And of course, one of the key arguments is the unprecedented commodity cost environment that we see in the moment, so at the moment. So that will continue. So it's not to say that if an approval is not granted, let's say today, that we stop those efforts. No, that can of course also be approved and implemented at any other point in time during the year.
Got it. Got it. Thank you. This was very helpful.
Okay.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Sanjay Avdamani from Envision Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good afternoon, sir, and thank you for giving me this opportunity. I just wanted some more clarity that we recently closed this facility at Bihar. So, I mean, what was the exact product we were producing here, and what is the cost saving we are expecting from this closure?
So the product we, just maybe as a recap, so our Bihar brewery, when Bihar went into prohibition, of course, it stopped producing any beer. We then, a few years back, shifted production to Rather, our 00 product on the Kingfisher brand. As we have reviewed, let's say, the capacity utilization, the fixed costs versus the volume, etc., benchmarked that to alternatives, we've concluded that it's more efficient to bring that to a third party where there's existing volumes of other products, and hence you reach a better utilization and skill efficiency. And with that, we have spent the operations in the production site in Bihar.
Okay, so this is very helpful. And if you can give us some guidance on the on the revenue side or some margin side for next year, so that will be helpful for us.
Yeah, so typically we don't put out guidance as to margins or top line growth. But yeah, as we commented, I think the peak season for us is a key season. So after two COVID years, there's a lot of positive signals from the month of March that there's optimism about the progress of the season. So hopefully that will be a good peak season for us. At the same time, there is a challenging cost environment where, as we discussed, some of the pricing actions, some of the underlying developments on the key input costs. So that is really the key dynamic, I think, for the year 2022-23.
Thank you. Thank you so much, sir. This is all from my side. Good luck.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Jaykumar Doshi from Kotak. Please go ahead.
Hi. Thanks for the follow-up. On working capital cycle improvement, do you expect it to stabilize at these levels, or is there further headroom to improve?
I think we are, of course, happy with the progress so far. I think we will have to recognize that as the market is returning to normal, so you need even new growth levels. There will be some pressure on expansion of that working capital block. Of course, we take our learnings, we take the achievements to sustain them. So I don't expect year over year further reductions as we have seen the last 2 years. I mean, of course, we would put our efforts to get good results. But I think there's also at a certain level so much what one can do, particularly considering a large majority share of our customers are state governments that will have set trade terms, so those are not too easy to further optimize. So that's in summary, I would say, yeah, with the expansion of the business and the market, the working capital block might move back a bit, but hopefully we keep it well below levels of pre-COVID.
Understood. And has route to market change in West Bengal and Delhi helped working capital cycle?
In Delhi, yes, West Bengal, not really big difference. But most importantly, yeah, where we saw some of that impact in the quarter, I think both markets have now, by and large, kind of settled down. Transition is over. So we've seen at the close of the quarter, yeah, a good recovery in trading in both these states. So that is. Hopefully that
the
transition impact is behind us now.
And my final one, you called out that March month was record month for in terms of volume. Could you quantify it and what do you mean by record? Is it like the highest month across all months in the history of the company, or was it higher than the March 2019 quarter month? Or maybe some percentage down, what growth you would have seen in March 2020.
Highest all-month sale in history of UBL.
Understand. Any idea you can give YOY basis versus last March, what could be the ballpark growth volume?
Vis-a-vis March 21,
March 21 month, March 22 month over March 21 month.
Nice. I would compare it to pre-COVID levels of March 20, it is even above that.
March 20 was impacted by COVID, right? So, are you referring to March 2019?
Yeah.
Okay, understood. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, this was the last question for today. I would now like to hand the conference over to Mr. Harit Kapoor for closing comments.
Yeah, thanks, Ritija. On behalf of IDFC, we'd like to thank the management of United Breweries for giving us the opportunity to host the call and taking out time to interact with the participants. And we'd also like to thank all the participants who joined into the call. Just want to hand over now to Darren for closing comments. So over to you, Darren.
Yeah, thank you, Harit, for having us and hosting us. And thank you all participants for your interest in the company and your questions. Look forward to engaging in the next event. Thank you.
Thank you. On behalf of Investec Capital Services, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your line.